Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It is going to be a constant learning experience on this show. As we get new friends and new faces to come around here, I'm going to learn my limits as a human being. Hopefully we continue to do that. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Getting to talk to Josiah Johnson soon, proud UCLA Hoops alum and host of Out of Pocket on Buckets and Wave TV. He's King Josiah 54 on Twitter to you guys. But Mike Golic Jr. here hanging out with the ACC Network's own Katie George with us throughout the day today. Katie, have I said anything weird like keep it a band today that has been offensive to you at all here? Because I always have to try and remind myself what I am and am not cool enough to say.
You have not offended me in the slightest today, so bravo. Let's give you a round of applause for that. I'm still in this chair.
There we go. All right, we haven't driven Katie George away. She still wants to be a friend of the show, and so that is good. And so we're going to try our luck and keep trying to push it now as we bring Josiah Johnson on with us. Again, you guys can check him out, the host of Out of Pocket on Buckets and Wave TV. Always phenomenal content, usually always getting something trending. Josiah, how you doing, man? We appreciate you joining us.
It's no usually about it. We always get those trends cracking. Good to see you guys, Katie. Great to see you, obviously. Milwaukee days, good to see you back out here doing it, getting your flares out.
Absolutely. Like I say, always getting it cracking trending-wise. You're right. And Josiah, I want to start with what we've seen so far heading into the NBA play-in tournament. We're seeing reports now that Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and some others may be resting for the Warriors tonight, according to a source. We know that LeBron James and Anthony Davis have been out for the Lakers. With these Lakers stars in particular, should they be seeing the court before we get to this play-in tournament with the injuries that they've suffered from so far this year?
No, get healthy. Obviously, they only had 71-day layoff from the bubble to the start of the season. LeBron looked like he was fine. The ankle looked fine when he was doing the little cha-cha salsa dance. I know that commercial wasn't shot too long ago. So I think they'll be fine, good to go, and ready. I think Warriors fans have been poking the bear a little bit with Lakers fans trying to want that 7-8 matchup. They don't want that smoke, and they don't want a LeBron coming back reinvigorated, ready to go. So Lakers fans out here in L.A., we're ready to go, ready to raise this second banner. We didn't get to do the parade for the first one, so we want to double up. We're going to double up this year.
Josiah, there is a phenomenal Hall of Fame class being enshrined this weekend. I saw on your Twitter your favorite Kobe moment. I was curious if you could share with our listeners today what it is.
So 2011, and let me just preface this, I'm a lifelong LeBron guy, so I wasn't the biggest Kobe fan back in the days, but 2011, I actually get a call from my dad, Marcus Johnson. He's like, yo, you need to come to the Drew League today, you know, something special is going to happen. I'm young at that point, so I'm just like, yo, I got stuff to do today, I'm not really tripping. Finally, get my head together, get the camera out there, go down to the Drew League. Kobe's supposed to come, there's a line out the door for about 5 hours waiting in the hot sun. Kobe ends up showing up, dropping a 50-piece or 40 or something like that on James Harden. But his team was down about 8 points with a minute to go in the game. And the cops tried to get him to leave. And he was literally like, no, I got to stay and finish the game. Proceeds to lead his team on a comeback, hits the game winner in James Harden's face as the whole crowd just rushes the court. So for me, all this stuff, obviously the 60-point game, the championships, and all those great moments for the city of L.A., for him to come out to the Drew League in 2011 when that league wasn't as popular as it is now, to come out there and do that, and those fans on the court screaming at him. You got dudes holding babies, yelling at Kobe. Really, you know, they respected Kobe, but he was coming to the Drew. So for him to prove it at the Drew League, in addition to obviously the NBA and everything like that, was just a tremendous moment, my favorite moment, you know, seeing Kobe in action.
Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Katie George talking to Josiah Johnson with us on the Goodyear Hotline. And Kobe's certainly the headliner of this weekend, but God, in a class that includes Kevin Garnett, can include Tim Duncan also. Is this the best class we've seen Hall of Fame-wise? Is there one that comes to mind for you, the greatest Hall of Fame class that we've had going in for basketball?
I think this one is great just because, you know, I think the Hall of Fame committee wanted to keep this one light, obviously pay respect to, you know, three legends and make sure that other guys didn't get left out and not really represented. But, yes, yeah, it's going to be tremendous. Seeing Vanessa with Kobe, I know a lot of us are going to have tears in our eyes, and it's going to be a really heartfelt moment. But to see this crew going in, Duncan, who's a guy who I have a tremendous amount of respect for and everything he's done, winning 5 rings. And his contributions to the game. So I think it's going to be a great weekend. It's going to be fun for us. Obviously, CDC says we can be out and about and moving a little bit more. So it's good. This will kind of jumpstart and kick that off.
Josiah, your father, Marcus Johnson, is a finalist for the class of 2021. He took me under his wing when I was in Milwaukee working for the Bucks. He's a phenomenal person. Of course, he had a phenomenal career on the court. What would it mean to you if he was inducted into the Hall of Fame?
I think me and our whole family, we're obviously, you know, we're keeping looking forward to it. He's been a finalist a few times now, didn't get in this year. It was very disappointing. I think his career was prematurely ended with a neck injury. He didn't have the real benefit of, you know, playing with the Lakers. He was playing with the Clippers at that point, and we all know kind of what the situation was in those times and the product that they were putting out. So I think he got dinged for that. But to see his career, L.A. City champion at Crenshaw High School, you know, the most prolific basketball program in the world, National Player of the Year at UCLA, win a national championship, five-time All-Star in the NBA, everything he was able to do really kind of set the foundation for what you see today as point forwards, guys like LeBron James and the people in that mold. So we're very confident that we'll be able to get in. And you got to throw in the actor, too. White Man Can't Jump High, the greatest basketball movie of all time. He has the greatest scene of all time. His contributions to basketball are enormous. I think, you know, when you put all that together, and if I'm in the room trying to, you know, be his advocate, I think it'll be a done deal. So I don't know who's out there speaking up for him, but we need to do a better job just kind of going over all the talking points.
Well, speaking of dads, you tweeted a couple weeks ago, what's one thing that you got in trouble for that was stupid with your parents? I tweeted a response of something that happened in preschool, Josiah, and then my dad immediately called me and said, hey, you shouldn't tweet that. People don't need to know about that story. And so I got in trouble again.
Hey, look, my Twitter's supposed to be a safe space. You got to keep parents away from it. We get, you know, I host a show called Out of Pocket, and as that name suggests, we definitely get out of pocket with it. But it's great to see those moments of people sharing those feelings and nostalgia from their life and world. And for me, it's great to be on social to be able to do that and foster those discussions and create conversations.
Well, everybody make sure they check out of Pocket on Buckets and Wave TV. Make sure you keep your parents away, because I've always contended there are two types of people that go on the internet. People whose parents don't have Twitter accounts and people whose parents do. And those of us in that latter category got to guard our content with everything in us. Follow him at KingJosiah54. Josiah, we appreciate the time, man. We'll always look forward to talking to you. We'll have you back real soon, okay?
Thanks, Josiah.
Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.
Josiah Johnson, host of Out of Pocket on Buckets and Wave TV. And that really is true, Katie, because your dad saw that because he's got access to the internet. And I feel like those of us whose parents we know are reading our tweets always got to mind our business a little more, because it is always that deep sigh for me before I hit send of, man, do I want that text to come from my mom or dad when all of a sudden they inevitably get this back to them?
Yeah, and it's even different as a female. Not that you would understand this when you're posting pictures, maybe in your swim trunks, or I don't know what you wear when you're at the beach. And I don't know if I want to know, Gojo, what you wear when you're at the beach or at the pool. But anytime I was on spring break, I always just wondered, should I click post and what's to come? And like in a matter of seconds, it would be take that down immediately. That's inappropriate. You're supposed to be a role model to young women. And I tried to keep that in the back of my mind as I'm posting on social media.
See, people always think, you know what, you're trying to be a role model. You're trying to watch out for young eyes. No, we're just all trying to not get hassled by our parents in these spots.
Scared of my dad.
Hey, you know what? Which is the most human thing on earth. So hopefully all of us keep some semblance of that in our hearts as we walk back out into, as we've pointed out, life with a little bit fewer restrictions right now, a little bit fewer masks. Everyone remember, your parents can still see what you're doing, even though we can all see your faces from now on for the first time in about a year. Keep in mind, coming up this weekend, a new lightweight king will be crowned at UFC 262 when rising star Charles Oliveira, who recently beat Tony Ferguson, battles Michael Chandler for the vacant title. Catch UFC 262 on Saturday, May 15th, available exclusively to ESPN Plus subscribers for $69.99. Visit ESPNPlus.com/PPV. 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. If you want to hit us up with your NBA moments, your favorite moments, Josiah gave us his favorite Kobe moment, but you can give us any of your favorite NBA moments you want enshrined in the Hall of Fame. But coming up next, we'll head and check out the Brooklyn Nets Big Three, some news about who may finally be on the court together for real in 2021 for a team with so many expectations. Next, here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's rare that I say things on the air in this show and they come true so readily, but Rare made its appearance in our last segment. Jhené Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN Plus. Mike Golick Jr. and Katie George hanging out with us today. And our thanks to Josiah Johnson, who joined us in the last segment. Katie, we talked about how he had gotten you in trouble on Twitter with your parents for tweeting about a story from your childhood that they didn't think should be out there. And I said, it's a very different world on Twitter for those of us whose parents are on Twitter. Not long after that, apparently, that statement was enough to draw the ire from my mother, who's also a very loyal listener to the show. Hi, Mom. Love you. Thanks for listening. Saying, what the hell, Mike? I thought I was cool. And Katie, I feel like you can please have my back on this one and remind everyone that my mom is really cool on Twitter, at NDMom. You guys should follow her.
You absolutely should. She's one of my favorite followers. She's in the mix, as what you say, right, on social media. She's got her ear to the ground, knows all things. It's pretty sassy, which, you know what, I believe because you are a product of her and your father, which makes total sense. But you know what? I view this as her being supportive because she texted you immediately, which means she's listening, watching you, supporting you from afar, which is pretty awesome in my opinion.
It is pretty awesome. And she knew this was immediately going to get turned around to content for this segment. So, Mom, as always, keeping it a band on this show, Jhené Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio, as I just completely spiral towards the end of this week. But, Katie, if anyone thought that was bad or me saying keep it a band was ugly, they have not seen what the Denver Broncos have decided to do from a business standpoint here. Because we remember, not too long ago, we had a big conversation about the Broncos and their offensive tackle, Juwan James, who tore his Achilles in an offseason workout away from the Broncos facility. They were one of the first teams to send out a strongly worded letter from the NFLPA saying they weren't going into workout in the voluntary offseason program. Players around the league, teams around the league have been having this battle over how often and for what reason players should be in here when we learned last year they can go and accomplish a fair amount getting it done away from the facility. Well, about 20 minutes ago, Adam Schefter tweeted, per Field Yates, the Broncos have cut offensive tackle Juwan James, who recently tore his Achilles. And Katie, we know part of the thing here that came from a league memo that it specifically mentioned Juwan James is because he was injured away from the facility, they do not owe him any dollar of that $10 million he had guaranteed in his contract. Katie, how is this good business for anyone involved?
It's not, and it's so unfortunate. For me, it's, is this the hill you really want to die on? Juwan James has been a great asset for you, player for you. He's working out, trying to keep his body in shape so that when he does come back to voluntary workouts or whatever the Denver Broncos is going to decide to do, he's ready and he's prepared for training camp in a couple of weeks or a couple of months. This is just so unfortunate and pretty gutless, which I think is the word that was used in the NFLPA's memo in response to the NFL's memo saying, hey, if you are hurt away from the training facility, teams don't have to pay your salary. So we were all curious, how were the Denver Broncos going to handle this? And I thought it was interesting. Michael Thomas, who's on the board for the NFLPA, as well as J.C. Treader, center for the Browns, they said, we're going to be watching this because why would I work so hard to keep my body in the best shape possible, continue to do my workouts away from the training facility so that I'm ready when we hit the start button? And then my team's just going to throw me under the bus at the first chance if I do, in fact, get hurt. Like, that is so unbelievably unfortunate. And I know the NFLPA has been keeping its eye on the situation. And you got to think, teammates in the Denver Broncos locker room have to be very, very unhappy because this is a terrible precedent to start to set.
It is a terrible precedent to set. And I know some people might look at Juwan James relative to his production and say this is a big number. They might have been looking to get rid of him anyway. We saw recently what happened with a team like the Kansas City Chiefs, one of the model franchises in the NFL, who cut Eric Fisher after an injury he sustained in this postseason. We know that's usually a part of the business in some ways that are uncomfortable to the stomach. But, Katie, we know the context of this offseason is different because it's not just about the business of football here. There are a lot of organizations that when these injuries away from the facility would happen, would go and make sure, all right, we're still going to accommodate some of the money that we would owe this player, regardless of what the fine print might say, because they know it's the right way to do business. This feels like the big power struggle between the league, the coaches, the team sides of this, looking at players who think they can get away with not being at the facility and saying, no, we're going to remind you exactly who the boss is in this spot. And Katie, I think this has bigger ramifications. Like, how do you expect the NFLPA to respond from this? You mentioned J.C. Treader and company say they're watching. I have to imagine they're seeing this headline coming out now and feeling like this is an absolute provocation by the league directly to the PA.
Yeah, it is. It's a smack in the face, right? I mean, that's what it feels like, and I'm not even invested, you know, portion of this equation. And so I've got to think that an NFLPA is going to be extremely disappointed. But to your point about bigger ramifications, I mean, $10 million is a lot of money. And you got to think, I mean, we're hearing different rumors, and the struggle that's happening up in Green Bay is very real. Now, we don't know if the Packers are eventually going to deal Aaron Rodgers and send him packing, because that's exactly what he wants at this point. But could we see the Denver Broncos saying, hey, we're going to cut James loose at this point, free up some money, because if we can get Aaron Rodgers, I mean, I don't see why they wouldn't go for it, right? I mean, they have obviously had success in the past getting a veteran QB. We saw that happen with Peyton Manning. They went all in. They cashed out winning a Super Bowl. I mean, they could absolutely go after Aaron Rodgers, and maybe this was a step for them freeing up some money to be able to do so.
Katie, it's a great point. We see this happen all the time. We saw it this offseason. Part of the reason at the beginning of the year, remember when people thought the Denver Broncos might be a landing spot for Deshaun Watson, you saw them clearing out some cap space, finding some room for some money. This would just be the grimiest example of how this can happen, because we know that this is the way teams try to move money around. But we also know what the NFL's become. It's become a league where the top upper echelon players are getting paid of veterans. We know the quarterbacks are being taken care of handsomely. And then everyone else down the list, the middle class of NFL players, is really getting priced out. And this would just be one of the uglier examples of this amidst an offseason where you already, if you're the owners, triggered that 17th game that you got into that CBA, but you knew the players didn't like, and you said we could force it on them anyway. And I just wonder, Katie, if at some point they're going to look over at the ugliness in Major League Baseball between them and their Players Association and say, we managed to avoid all this. Why are we going to invite this back into our lives as a league, as a union, when we could just on the other side meet in the middle ground like they have before and not make this seem like an act of war here?
Which is a great point, because I felt like they were in such a good place. I mean, we had navigated through COVID. They had taken each other's, you know, advice, and they had listened and heard each other out. And I felt like, wow, this is actually how you should do business between a player union and a league, much like we did not see from the MLB early on when COVID first hit. This just feels like something really grimy, I think is what you said is the word that you used. It really does. And it's unfortunate, because I think this comes at a really poor time, because their relationship seemed to be really good and a good working relationship at this point.
Yeah, it was going in the trending in a positive direction. And now, you mentioned there had been conversation. We were hearing reporting that the teams, that the Players Association were having conversations and adjusting some of these offseason programs. We talked about that with Jeff Darlington earlier on this show. I have to wonder now on the business side what the NFLPA is going to be going back and asking of these teams now in light of what we've seen here, because this was a big story when it first happened with Juwan James. And again, now, per Field Yates and tweeted by our own Adam Schefter, the Broncos have cut their offensive tackle Juwan James after that recent Achilles tears. Excuse me. Now, coming up next, as I try and compose myself briefly over here, boy, it is Friday and I am feeling every ounce of it here. I'm going to try and catch my breath as we talk to someone who has way more right to be tired than I do. What's it like to watch a documentary that you executive produce finally come off the board, call in to be a guest on your own radio show, all while you're getting ready to play your first professional basketball game in about 2 years? We'll ask Janae Agumake next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's that time. We are getting close to that moment. Go Sporks! Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr., Katie George, kind enough to join us here, former Louisville volleyball star as well as ACC Network reporter and analyst. She's been covering ACC softball tournament for the last few days. Kind enough to step over here with us and be a great teammate. That's what we look for around here, Katie, and that's what we love. So I appreciate you coming by today and holding us down.
I'm happy to do so. Chinee's a little busy this evening, but somehow still managing to make time for us on a game day, which is very exciting.
It's unbelievable, and this is our weekend preview. It's brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today, and we have got the start of the WNBA season kicking off today. We have got a documentary that premiered last night, 144, ESPN Films, collaboration with the WNBA, telling the story of the WNBA bubble, executive produced by none other than our very own Chinee Agumake, co-host of this show and Los Angeles Sparks forward, who joins us now on the Goodyear Hotline. What's going on, Chinee? How are we feeling right now? How are we feeling?
It's game day. Let's go. Hi, guys. Hey, Katie.
Hi, today. How are you?
I'm trying to, you know, I hate to say it, but this is, I got to fake it to make it today, y'all. We going to find a way. We going to push through. But I'm really excited. I'm just literally about to grab my stuff and head over to the convention center because Staples is occupied with these guys, you know, the Clippers and the Lakers. And so I'm about to grab my stuff and head down there for my first game. Let's get it.
So we got the first game coming up today, the Dallas Wings taking on the Los Angeles Sparks, 10:30 Eastern. And this is your first game back in a while, Chinee. You were not a part of the bubble season. You opted out of that season for your reasons. And now you're getting ready to get back on the court. So take us through the game day nerves here. I mean, you've played a lot of high-level basketball. We've well documented on this show. So what are the nerves like heading into a game like tonight?
Jesus, Mike, why are you talking to me like we don't talk to each other for 3 hours and doing all this professional stuff?
I got to treat you like a guest, Chinee. I'm trying to make you feel very official,
like
you're getting ready for this game tonight.
I come at you fast. Dang, the switch has happened. It's really exciting for me. You know, I opted out of the bubble last year, and so now I feel like it's the first day of school, being able to be back on the court. But, like, honestly, I know I talk a big game when it comes to my game, but, like, I do have nerves, and nerves are something that I've always had. But, you know, once the ball goes up, I, like, switch over to, like, zero dark 30. And so I'm really excited. I think our team is super talented. Get to reunite and play with my big sis. We got double trouble out here. I'm trying to get a double-double. Like, my goal tonight is to rebound the ball. Because, you know, when it's the first game, there's so many things that are happening, and it's, like, everyone's trying to feel themselves out. And for me, I found rebounding is the thing that gets me the touches that I need so that I can feel like I'm going. So if you're watching and I'm not rebounding, y'all need to, like, send me an SOS message so I can see it at halftime.
Chinee, Mike mentioned it earlier. You were an executive producer on the 144 documentary, and we want to find out what kind of reception you've gotten from that. But I'm curious, between 144, sitting in this chair every day with Gojo, and then obviously training and preparing for the start of this WNBA season, what's it been like juggling all of this for you?
I mean, I've almost lost my voice. I don't know. Like, I've been, like, dancing on the edge of the voice being gone, because it's, like, one thing to talk, you know, on this show, which I love, but then it's another thing to do that and then also yell, ball, or hurry, or, like, good pass, you know what I mean? And so I think, honestly, I just have to give a testament to, like, my teammates. We have an early practice slot, and I think it's so early because people knew that on the back end I had a job to do. So imagine that, like, Coach Derek Fisher in our organization saying, hey, you know, let's slot this earlier so that, you know, not only can our players rest the entire day, but we're also conscious that our players, some are moms and some have jobs. And so to me, that means the most. And then, of course, like, you guys don't understand, like, this man, Mike Golic Jr., hold me down, like, 24/7. And so it makes life easy so that I can just go from training camp, hop on a chair, and then we just sort of hit our stride and do our thing. So it's not – and then, like, yeah, the film 144 – I mean, I was nervous. You know, you work on something for so long, and then the whole world sees it. You're like, I hope they like it. And it seems like, especially within the sports world and our, you know, women's basketball community and basketball community overall, everyone was really excited to see a story, not just of athletes, but athletes being portrayed as human beings. And to me, that was the thing that made yesterday so special. And Junior knows I shed some thug tears. I hated it. but I did it because it was a milestone.
I was going to say, I hope people understand when they saw, because Chiney posted on her Twitter last night and on her social media, crying, getting to watch the premiere of this documentary, like, Chiney Akumike does not cry. If you are seeing tears there, it is because something momentous has happened. So I'm glad we captured that and documented it for everybody, because we know behind the scenes, Chiney, we saw a fraction of the grind here, and we know how hard a work that was. Like, for you, just seeing that pop up on the screen last night, like, I saw the tears there, but what was the first thing you thought of when you finally saw that? Because I know how hard you have been working for that above so many other things in your life, just because that wasn't just you. That was the voices and stories of so many people that are near and dear to you, too.
Exactly that. So I think as it came on screen, I was like, oh, my gosh, like, you know, we did something that is not normal that athletes do in real time as I'm, like, preparing for a season. And then on top of that, my favorite thing, Junior, was the fact that I was getting texts the whole time, and I was also seeing tweets of the players being excited that they're being shown authentically themselves. Like Courtney Williams, her timeline was all about, oh yeah, Courtney O'Real wanted to see that she enjoyed being seen in that regard. Natalie Achama of the Indiana Fever, a lot of people were talking about how raw and real and emotional she was. Every player that was seen, even like the jump rope scene, I walked into practice. I walked into shoot around this morning, and my teammate Slim, who was the one in the ice bath scene, was like, girl, you did me wrong. I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, you got me messing up on the dump ropes. But she's like, that was so fun and cute, though. You know, like, the fact that these players feel seen and that people can get to understand who these women are at a high level and nationally, like, that is what should already happen. But to be a part of making that happen, that was, like, the ultimate gift.
Chiney Akumike joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. You normally hear her next to me on this show. Isn't it weird? I guess, well, this is what we're going to have to get used to, Chiney. This is our new normal, because we're going to be navigating all this while you go off and do this in the WNBA season. Now, I got to ask, Chiney, because we've talked so much about what kind of swag you're going to go with this year. Are we going to get shooting sleeves? Are we going to get leg sleeves? But what I want to know, because I know in addition to rebounding, we've talked so much about you getting buckets from beyond the arc. Are we going to get the silencer tonight if you can jack up a three for us? Are we going to get it?
I can't say too much because I was going to tell you, like, okay, on this first play, blah, blah, blah. But look, I'm going to shoot it. And if it doesn't go well, guess what? I'm going to still shoot it. So y'all can laugh. But then it's going to actually work out, because I've noticed I'm someone that's like, okay, this is how it feels to shoot. All right, I'm getting closer. And then it's like, okay, bring, 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 bring. There we go. And so it's going to be funny. But, yeah, I'm totally going to do Shannon Penn style, a producer, three to the dome, or maybe, like, I might do like a three ball sweep up in the air, something like that. You know, I have no clue. I'm the type of person that would plan and then do something completely different on the court. So just stay tuned.
All right, there we go. We're going to be all eyes on 13 in that L.A. Sparks uniform tonight. We're looking forward to it. Everyone make sure, L.A. Sparks, Dallas Wings, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 Pacific. Chiney Akumike back out on the court, giving everybody buckets tonight. Chiney, congrats on everything from last night. Good luck tonight. We're all really excited for you. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Good luck tonight.
Thanks, y'all. Get buckets.
Get buckets. The sign-off extraordinaire from Chiney Akumike, who's getting ready to go out there and get it tonight. And coming up next, if Chiney can keep it as real tonight for the L.A. Sparks as Udonis Haslem kept it for the Miami Heat yesterday, I think we're all going to be in good shape. We'll show you how that went down next here. Chiney and Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr. and Katie George here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and our thanks to Katie George, ACC Network reporter and analyst, kind enough to give us some time today, coming off coverage of ACC softball tournament that we saw going on here, former collegiate volleyball player. Katie, I'm going to get it straight eventually here. It's Friday at the end of a long week for both of us.
We're almost there.
We have made it to the finish line, Katie. We are damn close.
We are so close. And now there is a segment that I think you guys usually wrap up the show with. Is that correct?
Yes, I think we're going to try and help everybody out here because it's Friday. We want everyone to feel good right now. Our thanks to everyone that came around here and held us down today. We talked to Jeff Darlington, our ESPN NFL insider. We talked to Josiah Johnson, King Josiah 54 on Twitter. Obviously, the great follow there, one of the kings of NBA Twitter. We talked to Tony Allen as well earlier in the show. And we talked to Jhené Egbuemeke, the co-host of the show, who's getting ready to play in her first WNBA game of the season tonight against the Dallas Wings. If you missed any of that, make sure you check it out. Download it, rate, subscribe, and review Jhené N'Golo Jr. wherever you get your podcast. But Katie mentioned it. We got to give the people some love. We got to give the people some energy. Let's keep that same energy heading into the weekend. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Jhené N'Golo Jr.
Keeping that same energy is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. And Katie, I want to keep the energy of Udonis Haslam going into the weekend. Here's a beautiful montage of Bam Adebayo, Eric Spoelstra, Jimmy Butler, and Udonis Haslam himself talking about the 3 minutes that we will never forget. Udonis Haslam got his first 3 minutes of playing time the entire NBA season, the 40-year-old forward for the Miami Heat. He was going up and battling against Dwight Howard and the 76ers, and this is what the end result was after 3 minutes on the court, resulting in an ejection for one of the greatest Miami Heat members of all time.
I was like, yo, this motherfucker is crazy. But it was like, I was like, UD, you can't get tossed in your first 4 minutes, bro. Like, how long was he in the game? Four minutes? Three minutes and you get tossed. I said, OG, you taught me a lot, but you ain't ever teach me to get tossed in 3 minutes. Like, that is something you've always been like, it was kind of like a big brother moment, but I got to be big bro at that time.
That's my favorite moment of the season so far. Just excessive passion, competitiveness, and anger. Just love it. And that's why we roll with UD.
I love confrontation, altercation, all of that good stuff. I feed off of it. We feed off of it. I encourage it.
If this is the last one, I finish it the only way Udonis Haslam could, with an ejection.
Katie, what's your favorite part about all of this? Because for me, it might be UD finishing this off in the third person.
That's up there. I think Eric Spoelstra is saying he absolutely loves the excessive passion, competitiveness, and anger. He said it's his favorite moment of the season. He's supposed to be the adult in the room, and yet he's condoning it, which I kind of am here for. I love it. That's the energy for you.
I do love it, and you could see in the video last night when UD was walking off the court post-ejection, there were coaches on the Miami Heat bench applauding him on the way out. That is a guy that is respected in the 305. But keeping that same energy, Katie, how about this in the world of sports? Alex Rodriguez Group is set to purchase the Minnesota Timberwolves for $1.5 billion. Do you think Anthony Edwards, their star player who said that he had no idea who A-Rod was, is going to start to learn anytime soon? Or do we think that's still going to just be his story and he's sticking to it?
Do you think Edwards was like, oh, the guy who dated Jennifer Lopez? Or do you think someone actually told him of his baseball career?
I hope no one tells him about his baseball career because, Katie, I don't know about you, Anthony Edwards' overwhelming confidence has been one of my favorite stories in sports this year, and I don't want anyone bogging that down with any kind of reality for Anthony Edwards here. But keeping that same energy, Katie, we gotta close this show where we started. I brought up earlier today to you a poll from U.gov that asked, which animal could you beat in a fight compared to women? Men feel most comfortable to take on medium-sized dogs and geese. There are a lot of animals that were on this list that way too many people thought that they could take in a fight, ranging from grizzly bears, lions, elephants, and crocodiles to eagles, medium-sized dogs, and house cats. Katie, we've looked at this list. We've digested it. Is there an animal on here you would feel most comfortable in saying you could take down in a fight?
I don't think so. I don't like house cats. I don't like rats. I mean, to take one of these out, I'd have to touch them. I don't want to touch a rat. Maybe if I had a shovel or a weapon of sorts. But here's what I don't understand. There's a resounding amount of people, an overwhelming amount, who believe they can take down a chimpanzee or a kangaroo. Kangaroos can be feisty.
Oh, feisty and large. Like, I think you're absolutely right. The number one thing
I'm
we can say, because we are lovers of animals around here, so we just want to put out a PSA on a Friday. Don't try chimpanzees. Don't try
rats
kangaroos.
Have teeth.
Rats do have teeth. house cats are probably looking to kill you and plotting to do so already. So stay away from all those as you head into the weekend. Katie, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. We really appreciate you, my friend.
Of course. I was happy to do so.
All right. Katie George, kind enough to sit in with us here. But coming up next, you can keep hanging out on ESPN Radio. Spain and Fitz got you covered for the rest of the animal fighting here on Fridays.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.